The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
It's News Talk, is the Anton Savage Show. That's Eleanor Galvin. She is our resident GP. So if there are any questions that you have about any medical issues, fling them in our direction, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent or 087-1400-106 for free and for nothing. Eleanor, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Anton.
Glad to hear. Text saying, I have pins and needles, sensations in my hands most of the time, especially after using my hands a lot, like when I am cleaning. They are usually very blue with a stiff sensation. It says also losing nails due to a fungal infection, even though I wear gloves as much as possible. Are they connected?
I think this is Raynaud's, which will make her have poor blood supply to her hands, especially when cleaning, her hands are colder. So it's a kind of a constriction, the tiny blood vessels in your fingers. Your fingers go cold, white or blue. Blue went pretty bad. Stiff, pins and needles, because the little nerves are starved of supply. And then your nail beds all suffer, and you can lose nails. Your nails become so brittle, you lose them. So that would be severe Raynaud's, for which she, say when she's cleaning a lot, I bet that's putting her hands into cold water as well as other water. It's probably not fungal, but it should be checked. But she should go to somebody, because that sounds very hard going, cleaning with blue, stiff, tingly hands and your nails falling off.
And is Raynaud's something that is treated medically, or do you just treat the symptoms by trying to keep hands warmer in circulation?
You used to be only able to do it. Now we give them calcium channel blockers, which improves their blood flow to their fingers and can totally revolutionise Raynaud's.
Because it's amazing. A friend of mine used to have it, and it was always stunning to watch, because as he got colder and colder, you could watch the whiteness travel across the hand as it got the circulation.
I can imagine when, wait till it's blue and your nails are falling off. So that person's suffering. So there is definitely room to improve that a lot, if not hopefully fix it or transform it.
Another one saying, I have been sick since Christmas. I had a viral infection which flattened me. I'm still very tired and I'm very nervous of everything, getting panic and nausea at times, especially at work. Any advice is welcome, please. I've never been really sick before.
Now, I'm going to say that's really hard. So sick since Christmas, we're now in March. So that's probably nothing to do with the virus, hopefully. But it could be something else that's coincidentally happened after she had the virus. Like, she could have an overactive thyroid, making her anxious and nauseous and feeling unwell. She's a 65-year-old who was never sick before. But she's now putting it down to being nervous and anxious and panicky. She should go get her bloods done, make sure that she ticks off all the physical things off the list as to any reason she should be sick, and also check her autoimmune kind of function, all that. And then she can go around down and kind of see why is she panicky. But this does sound, in somebody who was generally otherwise sick, as if maybe her symptoms started around some time of the virus, which is kind of over winters, people get lots of bugs. But she certainly needs to get bloods done. She certainly needs somebody to look after her.
That thing of getting bloods done, do you have many who come in as just a matter of course for bloods checkups?
No, there's kind of maybe more of that than there was. We wouldn't kind of just do them willy-nilly on people, but once a year is a good idea to, at a certain age, to know how your prostate is doing. And that's not too old an age. To know how your prostate is going. But remember, it's not an ultimate blood test for everything. Doesn't mean you don't, and doesn't mean you do, and you have to track them. Your cholesterol, your thyroid for women, your iron. There's a whole load of kind of little things that if you get them done once a year, you can say to yourself, my innards are fine. And there's nobody else can, you know, to say that to you. My innards are fine. My kidneys are grand. My liver is grand. It must be all in my head. No, but it's just that it's good to know these things
now,
are all
here's
right.
The thing that maybe I am cynical. I always assume, though, that people get the blood test done. And obviously there would be some things that are caught that are an immediate medical intervention. But I figure you have to then sit them down and say, look, fundamentally, you need to eat better and you need to take more exercise and you need to look after yourself. Do they actually do it?
You know, some people are amazing. I always kind of think, maybe I'm a bit heavy in the advice. I've said to one guy, your bloods are off, your liver's a bit funny, you need to lose a bit of weight. You know, you've got three stone to shift there. Please stop drinking. All these sort of things. Like 3 months later, they come back and say, I've lost the 3 stone. I have stopped drinking. That's the minority of them, but they are there and it's worth saying it. And then sometimes I feel bad that maybe I went too far. But it is worth saying it. It's worth saying to people to try and change, because people have the power to do all sorts of great change. And if they do a little bit every day, give them a bit of small advice, quite often they'll astound you.
Text saying, Why do I wake up in the middle of the night? Is it because I apply the blue shade to my tablet phone hours before? I use it less now. No doubt it hinders shift work too for some. So what? That's where you can switch the phone so it gives you a different color of light so that it doesn't stimulate you and make you think that you're awake. But why? What's common reasons for insomnia or people waking up in the middle of the night?
But you could leave your phone in a box in the hall.
Oh, no, you don't
have to. You could.
What if you wake up in the middle of the night and you want to check things?
You could get an alarm clock.
No, but you need to check your phone. You need to go, has somebody
you
texted
don't really.
Me? No, you do. And you have, as soon as you wake up, you have to have, when you can just use the one eye, you still have to have a quick scroll and see what's happening in the world.
But if you can't stop doing that, then you've got a problem. You leave it in the hall. It's just a little bit of advice for you there, Anton.
Can you bring the computer in instead of the phone?
No.
Setting my phone to one side, both literally and figuratively, other causes of insomnia. Do you get people coming to you saying, doctor, I cannot sleep?
Yeah, absolutely, all the time. And the thing is to try not to go down the road of worrying about it too much, because that will take the sleep for you, so that you're worried, I'm going to go to bed now, I'm not going to sleep. And then you get into that sort of a habit. There are things that you can do to help to sleep, which one of the huge things is this whole idea of 10,000 steps a day. Where if you walk 10,000 steps a day, it is really good for your sleep. So it's to do the kind of normal things, like 10,000 steps, about 5 miles. So it's actually good going. But the normal things about, like, leaving your phone in a box in the hall, you can charge out there as well, so it's ready for you. Not having a telly in your room, having your telly as near as you could to a not quite sensory deprivation tank, but it's somewhere that your body associates with rest and sleep. So like that you go in there and you think of nothing. A white noise machine, fabulous. You can have that in your room instead.
Yeah, there was a brief moment of whale song, wasn't there? There was a phase where people had...
I don't know if I could do whales.
Oh.
I don't know if I could do whales, but I think white noise couldn't be actually very nice.
Did I ever tell you about the world's loneliest whale?
No.
The world's loneliest whale is a humpback, and he sings a song that is unique to him. No other whale in the world sings that song.
Yeah.
So he wanders the Southern Ocean going...
And maybe he's really happy.
In his solitude.
Yes, he's just one of those people.
Texas says, I am a 47-year-old man. Recently, I'm getting pain in my butt. Brackets, no joke, it says. If I'm sitting for a few minutes, even on cushioned seats, pain feels like it's on my coccyx. I'm 6 foot and about 15 stone.
Okay, so he's relatively right height for his weight. So he's got pain in his bottom when he's sitting down. So you can't really x-ray those parts of you terribly well, because if there's something really wrong down there, you can't put it in a plaster.
But how is he getting his coccyx? Work to get that onto a seat, wouldn't you? You'd like the angle to get your coccyx onto a seat.
I think he should bring his bottom to a physiotherapist. I think a physiotherapist would be the person who would sort that out. So it's unlikely there's anything broken there. He could have a little bit of an inflamed coccyx, you know, the way little ligaments and things around there, and they can be very sore.
This is because it used to be a tail, isn't that what it was?
Because it used to be a tail. And there's also sacroiliac joints down there in your pelvis and things.
Is what?
There are sacroiliac joints on either side of your coccyx.
Look at you with your medical degree.
Look at that. And physios are fabulous for that sort of thing, because if you image him and you find he has a tiny crack or he has a tiny bit of inflammation down there, really all you're going to be doing is going to a physio. So go to a physio.
Hi, Eleanor. My 8-year-old daughter gets spontaneous nosebleeds often at night, waking her up. It has been going on since she was about 4. She might get a number in a short period, then nothing for weeks. They aren't too heavy, and usually we get them stopped within 10 to 15 minutes. Is there anything we can do about this?
Yeah, so sometimes they're prone to, if that was a kind of once-off thing, you'd say to yourself, well, maybe she picked it, or she had a cold recently, but this is kind of an ongoing thing. So you need somebody to have a look up her nose and see if she got very kind of surface blood vessel or two, and then they just kind of cauterize them with liquid nitrogen. Also, the amount of it that's coming out of her and things like that, she might need a blood test, but somebody should look up that child's nose and see what's up there. And then 99 times out of 100, it's a bit of silver nitrate that they got zzz and cauterize it, and that's the end of that. Quite a common thing to do, ear, nose and throat. People do it all the time. But somebody needs to look up her nose.
Do you have liquid nitrogen?
I have liquid nitrogen. I don't have silver nitrate. So silver nitrate.
You have liquid nitrogen?
I do, in a fabulous tank. It's actually really cool. It's one of the highlights of my...
That's amazing.
It is fabulous.
I know there's probably rules around how you... Have you ever used it to make ice cream?
No, I've
apparently it makes amazing ice cream.
Would it be medical grade? I suppose a liquid nitrogen is liquid. I don't know if what's if anything added in bars
or inert, isn't it?
Made in some sort of I wonder about the hygiene of that now. Making
give it a shot on the QT. Tell us how you get on. Is that one of those things though that is common in different phases in children? You know the way there are sudden brackets of susceptibility where you go, they're getting this thing a lot, and then it passes. Is are nosebleeds along those lines?
But that seems to be going on now for several years. That she goes in. That sounds as if there's a little tiny surfacey blood vessel on the inside of her nose, and she get that zapped, and that would be the end of that. So if you were to have very bad ongoing nosebleeds, both nostrils, things like that, you worry about leukemias, all sorts of things. But generally a once off or once or twice off, it's a cold or it's a pick. But to have a look up her nose, you might well see where the problem's coming from.
Another one says, Anton, my beloved late husband bought me a radio called the Dream Machine, where you can time it to turn off after 30, 60 or 90 minutes. Great to help me go off to sleep. That's my white noise.
Stephen Fry reads the story about the lavender fields of France and never heard the end of it.
Do you know an even better one on Stephen Fry? Have you heard his version of the shipping report?
I don't. I'd listen to me. That sounds like a great plan.
But the shipping report is also a good one to go to sleep.
Oh, okay.
If you get an old, I think there is, I think on YouTube they have combinations of all of the shipping reports stitched end to end.
Okay.
So you can have 90 minutes of South at Zira, North at Zira, Cromarty's, Forth.
You're better than scrolling your phone for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
53106, by the way, 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. If you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106. One asking, I find myself picking up every illness that is going around. Is there anything I can do? Well, this is what I was asking you during the break. Given that you're a GP and you get sick people all day long in a room with you, what do you do to prevent yourself getting everything?
I'd love to tell you I walk 10,000 steps a day and I only eat vegetables. I think it's just the exposure to it. It's the same as like primary school teachers and people like that. We're just getting a good immunity to it. But it's all the really boring things that give you a good immune system, which is exercise, eating right, a bit of fresh air. But sometimes some bugs will just get you.
On the topic of doing the sort of generally right stuff, have you concerns about what you're seeing in the States migrating over here in terms of things like vaccines? The fact that measles are back and that we're seeing measles deaths in the States, do you think there is a chance that we are going to start to see that culturally feeding in here and few people becoming wary of vaccines?
We're a very smart nation. We are a very smart nation. And I would hope that none of that. We already have had whooping cough coming back a bit, which is dreadful because for a huge amount of time I never saw it. And then now it's starting to creep back. We vaccinate pregnant ladies against whooping cough. So they're tiny little babies, aren't vulnerable. And they're all kind of scary diseases that people kind of forgot about the reasons we do it. But I do think that our vaccine turn up is good, but we can't you just have to do it. It's not just for you and your baby. It's for everybody. It's for all the other vulnerable people. I hope not. That would be horrifying.
And whooping cough is one of those where, again, because it was almost totally eradicated, there will be people unfamiliar. It is mostly small babies and they almost suffocate through coughing. Isn't that what it is?
I suppose an awful lot of us have a little bit of immunity to it. But the small babies, before they are big enough for their own immunity, they're so vulnerable and it's such a spreader. It's just, go into a shop, somebody else has whooping cough, your baby could have whooping cough before you get to your 2, 4 and 6 month vaccines. So that's why the mother's immunity is boosted, therefore giving the baby some immunity. But again, do you know?
Very interesting one here. I'm anaphylactic to wasps for the last 30 years. I nearly died 3 times after one sting. I've had desensitization, 3-year course and no joy. I'm older now, which means eyesight and hearing isn't as good as it once was. And that means I'm finding it very difficult. In other words, I assume that means spotting or hearing the wasp. Yeah. What's the desensitization?
I presume it's that they give you a tiny little bit of it, provoke a small reaction that your body gets used to it. Same as they do for kind of hay fever and grass seed, that sort of stuff. But that's pretty severe. They would be seeing a specialist now, not a GP for that.
And do you get many who have the epinephrine pens for anaphylaxis?
Absolutely. And I think that while the whole world shouldn't be going around with EpiPens, if you think that you need a shot of an EpiPen, take it and don't be wondering while your tongue swells up. If you have any, it's not going to do you any awful harm.
I remember years ago, there was a, do you remember Ray Mears, the sort of bushcraft? You probably don't. He was like Bear Grylls, but posher. Yeah. And he had this show where on it, he had a gentleman who was an expert in mushrooms, and he used to take home and eat the mushrooms. He ate the wrong mushroom.
Yeah.
And had just enough time to write on a piece of paper what the species was and staple it to himself before he passed out and the medics...
Did he make it?
He made it, but by the skin of his teeth. And had he not written down what it was? So it's a good principle, you know. Get the epi in there before your throat closes up.
Yeah.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.